This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Alec Hudnut. Alec's the managing partner of Vici Partners. Alec himself has got a fascinating background. Besides going to rugby school and Harvard Business School, he's the managing partner here. Alec, can you take a moment, tell us a bit about yourself and about Vici Partners?
Sure. So Vici Partners is a consulting firm that focuses on things growth work for clients anywhere as small as $50 million in top line revenue, all the way up to those at the $50 billion mark in revenue. And we are a group of former CEOs and senior operators who work with our clients to effect operational improvements that historically at most of our clients has resulted in at least a 25% improvement to operating income within 24 months. And our work is a combination of cost reduction work as well as revenue growth and margin expansion.
And talk about how you got into this business of doing what you do.
So I started out long ago as a financial analyst at Goldman Sachs. I went to business school and I was an associate at McKinsey for 5 years and focused on operational turnarounds at McKinsey, which was quite rare 20 plus years ago back then. And then I was the CEO of three different software companies, one in education, one in robotics, one in visual pattern recognition. I was an executive at Green Dot Bank. And about 7 years ago, I joined Vici Partners. Have really enjoyed the work. If you'd asked me 25 years ago if I would be a consultant again, I would have said I don't think so. But I've really enjoyed the work. We serve our clients very well. We help them materially improve their operating income, and even more important, throughout the process, we give voice to frontline workers and mid-level managers who perhaps historically have had a hard time getting their ideas listened to and decided on and then successfully implemented. So it's very, very satisfying work.
That's fantastic. And what areas do you focus on now? Are there specific verticals or industries you focus on, or in where do you have most of your impact?
We focus on a number of different verticals. We do a lot in financial services, in software and tech, in industrial manufacturing, distribution. Probably two-thirds of our clients are directly with the corporations. Our clients are the CEOs, CFOs. And then we also have a series of private equity clients from some of the very biggest firms to some very small firms. And again, as I was saying earlier, typically about 75% of our, 50 to 75% of our work ends up being in cost reduction, and a quarter to a half ends up being in top-line growth, pricing, margin expansion, et cetera.
When people look at cost reduction, the cost reduction side of the equation, what are the typical big places that they're finding cost reduction? And do you guys work on a percentage basis, an hourly basis, a project basis? How do you guys work?
Now, our pricing depends upon the situation at the client. And we have priced in all different types of models, from fixed fees to gain sharing with our clients. Some of the typical areas that we find cost reduction is almost always in technology. There's oftentimes a gap in understanding between executive teams and the technologists. And oftentimes we typically end up canceling somewhere between 10 and 25% of all IT and development projects at a client. Because when you put the whole basket of projects through, you know, anything where they're spending more than $250,000, if you put that through a strict ROI case, a lot of the projects don't have an ROI. And if nobody's signing up for increased revenue or cost reductions because of the ROI, because of the IT project, unless it's regulatory required, you just shouldn't be doing it. So we find a lot of cost reductions in IT. And also a lot of process flow optimizations, whether that's on a manufacturing floor or inside of a services company, in the way information is handed off between groups. A lot of times things are just too complicated. Like if we put up on the wall all the steps that have to happen between when somebody orders an oxygen tank at the doctor's office and it gets delivered to a house and it covers a whiteboard the size of the wall, you know you've got something too complicated. And so working with our clients to simplify that is better for the customer and reduces costs for the client. So a lot of operational cost reductions, IT-related cost reductions. And on the revenue side, we find a lot of revenue leakage, unintentional leakage, where people are not, you know, clients are not being charged what they could be charged or not according to the contract, or clients that have been sold are never fully onboarded in all the product lines that they could be onboarded in. So revenue leakage is a big area, as well as pricing opportunities, particularly around maintenance pricing for hardware and software. There's often opportunities to increase pricing there without introducing any churn for the customers, but delivering material improvements to operating income because of it.
And when you look at this year, what are you most focused on and excited about this year?
Well, a lot of our, you know, during the first sort of half of COVID, a number of our clients were in extreme positions where, you know, they were avionics companies or oil field services companies, and the industries were literally just falling apart. And, you know, we saw some clients with a 75% top line revenue drop because of COVID. And in that first 9 months, you know, they don't really need our help to realize that they must, within a few weeks, shut all the unprofitable divisions, cut everybody's salary 20%, you know, delayer the organization. Those are things that a company, when forced to, can do on its own very quickly. And, you know, better off not using the consultants for that. But now that things have stabilized, the economy's growing again, you know, we're being brought in for a number of our clients that have taken these sort of more drastic measures and been asked to bring out the sharpened scalpel and do it, you know, do it more surgically instead of with a sledgehammer. And so we've got a lot of clients where we are helping them find additional cost reductions so that they can reinvest in growth or, you know, smaller dollar cost reductions to go along with their big, huge cost reductions that they made on their own to get them additional operating margin. So a lot of people coming out of COVID wanting to continue to improve operating costs as well as save money from operations and reinvest that in growth, heavy emphasis in growth, a number of our clients.
And cutting costs and improving revenues is hard work. Doing more about these things, lessons in life from rugby, UNC, or Harvard Business School. Where do you learn the most about things that have been applicable to you in life? Is it from the hardness of rugby, or is it from the education at UNC or Harvard?
That's a good question. Well, I learned a lot about life being a Northerner and being fortunate enough to go to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. There weren't that many of us there at that time, and it was a different world that I got used to and grew to love. So that was a great learning. At Harvard Business School, I met a number of just amazing people who've done amazing things, and it's a very hard-charging group. And, you know, some of my close friends have been very successful, and it's been a great networking opportunity. At the rugby school, which was where rugby started back hundreds of years ago in England, I didn't actually know how to play rugby. I was brought over as a scholarship student from the U.S. And so the rugby guys used me on the pass in. So in rugby, you can pass the ball in from the sidelines, and they weren't as good at throwing the rugby as guys like me who played American football. So I could get a pretty nice long pass all the way to the other side of the field. So they enjoyed that. That was one value added from the American at school in England at the rugby school.
So just fascinating, truly. And talk about this. This is, you know, the great question, if you're a UNC guy, is do you respect or disdain Coach K? What are the thoughts on Coach K at this point in life?
Great competitor. I mean, when I was there, it was Dean Smith, and we faced off against Coach K a bunch of times. And, you know, the Carolina-Duke game is always a great game, no matter how well-placed in the top 25 those teams are. So either team can beat the other team no matter where they are in the polls. And Coach K, a great coach. Dean Smith, a great coach. Obviously, I'm a Dean Smith fan. Interestingly enough, I listened to a talk that he gave about 15 years ago, as he was nearing the end of his career. And he told this amazing story about how in his first year as the Carolina coach, he was burned in effigy for losing to both NC State and Duke in the same year. And he was really sort of shaken by that, to have his likeness burned in the, you know, at the student rally. And he kind of, you know, took a month off in the summer and rethought things. And he decided that he was no longer going to focus on the outcome of games. He was just going to focus on the process of games, making sure he had the right players, making sure he had the right plays, making sure they practiced well, making sure he had the right coaches. And then he was just going to let the outcomes be driven by the process. And it's a great lesson in life, and it's particularly a great lesson in business, because business is the exact same way. If you just obsess about the outcomes, you're never going to be successful. But if you focus on the process and the people and manage that as best as you possibly can, the outcomes will come. The positive outcomes will come. So good lesson from Dean Smith long ago.
Well, no, it's a great, great lesson. Those were back in the Jimmy Valvano and Coach K days at competing schools. But let me ask you another question. And I think there's probably only one answer to this question. Who is the greatest basketball player to ever play the game?
Well, you're asking a guy who went to North Carolina when Michael Jordan was there. And I even sat next to him in a geography class. So I got to choose Michael Jordan.
God bless you, Alec. Alec, what a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you very much. Alex Hudman, the managing partner of Vici Partners, cost production, revenue growth. Alec, thank you so much for taking the time to visit with us today. What a pleasure.
Enjoyed it, Scott. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to talk about Vici Partners with you. And if anyone wants to reach me, they can email me at ahudnut, A-H-U-D-N-U-T, at vicipartners.com, VICI partners.com. Thank you so much.